On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Movies and Booze on Moncrief.
Of all the gin joints in all the world, she walks into mine.
The martini, shaken, not stirred.
I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
It is time for Movies and Booze. Eilie Ryan, Linda Coogan and Chris Wasser are with us once again. Good afternoon to you all.
Hello.
Somebody's already texted in to say, Chris, that technically Schwarzenegger's Running Man is the original. It was nowhere near the, this is Chris on Blue Sky, says it was nowhere near the Stephen King book it was based on. The version is 95% true to the book, so it's a completely new film.
Yeah, actually, yeah. It kind of, it takes the idea of the Running Man television show, but it goes its own way. That texter might be able to remind me. I'm not sure if there's a Sick Family even in this. It's been a long time since I watched this film.
I don't know. No, what he's saying is that Schwarzenegger's Running Man is nowhere near the Stephen King book. It's very loose adaptation of it.
It's out there on its own. Like, the character doesn't even, like, the character in the book has a sick family that he goes on the television show to try and win $1 billion for.
That doesn't sound like Arnie. No, he wouldn't have a sick family.
No,
I never want to be stacked.
Yeah. Arnie has spent far too much time in the gym to have a family in this film, but I think he's he goes on the show to stay out of prison. It's been a very long time since I watched so it goes its own way entirely. Edgar Wright's new version, which we'll be reviewing here today, it's a very faithful adaptation for better or worse.
Yeah, okay. Does that mean Stephen King gets money twice, I wonder?
For both films?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
cool.
He wrote it under a pseudonym as well.
Ka-ching.
Yeah, I think when people went to see the original Running Man, they wouldn't have gone to see based on the book by Stephen King. It would have been based on the book by Richard Bachman, because that was at a point in Stephen King's career where his publishers only let him publish one novel a year, and he was writing so many. I mean, he writes so fast.
He's a phenomenon.
He really is. So he asked them if he could do something else for a different publisher, if he could do it under a different name so they wouldn't oversaturate the market. So there were about half a dozen books published under the name Richard Bachman, and it was a librarian in like middle America who noticed the similarities in the dialogue and some of the settings and some of the characters or whatever, and they wrote a letter to the publisher saying, I know it's Stephen King, and that was the end of it. There you go. Didn't ask for that story, but you got it.
But I love all this. So far, we've got loads of amazing stories. We barely started. And Christmas Karma. Oh, God.
Yes, Christmas Carol.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's the 17,000th version of A Christmas Carol. It's from Gurinder Shadda, who gave us Bend It Like Beckham and Blinded by the Light. It's got Danny Dyer in it.
Not since Christmas like Danny Dyer.
We'll get to it.
Yeah.
We'll get to it.
Okay, we will get to it. And so, tell us what we're drinking today, Linda.
Little Hidden Gems.
Okay, excellent.
I did a corporate tasting this week for a company, and we did Hidden Gems. And they actually hid the fact that they were actually doing a wine tasting for the staff. It was a surprise, so I thought that was fun.
Okay,
so
that was nice.
So it inspired me. So this is, they're two fantastic producers. We're having a Pecorino. Have you heard of the Pecorino grape? Italian? Well, you have, Sean. You're doing this for many
years
now.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Lots of Movies and Booze episodes. Yeah. And then we have a wine from the Roussillon region in southwest of France. So it's a blend of grapes you've heard of, Syrah, Grenache and Carignan, but the producer is fantastic, Jean-Marc Lafarge, and I love everything he does. And the white is a producer called De Camillo from Italy as well, from Abruzzo, and I love everything they do. So their whole range is amazing, but I've picked these two just because they're gorgeous.
Okay, good. Something to look forward to. Right, Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah.
Sydney Sweeney's to blame for everything.
Apparently, the whole world, all the politics, it seems. Trump being in office, it's all her fault. Poor Sydney Sweeney. I do think she's getting a bit of a bad time. So she is starring in the new movie Christie, which has bombed in inverted commas in the box office. What that means is that they put
I don't think we need to put it in inverted commas. I think it actually bombed.
My point is that it may have bombed in the box office, but the reviews are actually good. That's what I'm trying to say. So it hasn't bombed as a movie, I don't think. So basically they put about 15 million in. It was actually quite not that much, and about 1.3 came in the first weekend, and a lot of people are saying that the movie isn't being attended because of what's going on with Sydney Sweeney in the background. So for example, she did like an interview with GQ GQ last week. It's all over social media for anyone who's on TikTok. You've probably seen it, where they tried to bring up that infamous jean ad now. You know, Sydney Sweeney has good jeans, and she's like refusing to respond on. So there's a lot of criticism of her personal politics. She's a registered Republican. So people think this is why it's failed. So I was interested to read the actual reviews then, which I have read, and actually the reviews are very good. And they're saying that her performance is actually amazing in it. So the story itself obviously is about a boxer, Christy Martin, who's still alive. And she was kind of the first female boxer to kind of rise to fame in the 1990s. She's also a domestic abuse survivor and a huge kind of face of domestic abuse and standing up for that and everything. So she's come out and said, like, she's defended her, you know, she's like, I'm a fighter and I'm going to fight for Sydney. She's done a good job. And like, I've seen some of the interviews with Sydney, and like, she was beat up during that movie. Like, she actually is properly fighting in it. She randomly has a background in boxing herself. And before she was cast in Euphoria, she had to kind of let it go because she was coming into set with so many bruises and stuff. So it's a personal passion project of hers. And obviously she's come out now and she's said on social media that she's deeply proud of the movie. She's proud to represent someone as strong and resilient as her. So everyone a part of the movie, connected to the movie, Christy herself, they're all like, no, this is incredible. Now, I will say Rotten Tomatoes, it's 66% rating at the moment. And I always look to Rotten Tomatoes, and the reviews are very good of her performance. So I do feel a bit bad for her that maybe other
and
things are.
Who's Ruby Rose? She claimed that Sweeney ruined the film.
Yeah, so she's an actress who apparently was up for the role. She said some very not nice things about her. A few people have actually come out against her, celebrities, and just been like, the movie's crap, you did a crap job. And I do think that's personal opinions of Sydney Sweeney rather than the actual film, especially when I'm looking through the reviews and they're actually not that bad. That's why I feel guilty saying it's bombed, because I think some movies have bombed in the box office but have been very, very good, or like long term, years later, people have come back to it. So I wouldn't say it's one that you'd completely say that it didn't succeed. However, what didn't help is that her reps have been emailing publications to tell them to reword it as an indie movie, so that it's not failing at the box office. And that has come out in the press. And that's not great. So like,
oh, that's brilliant.
You can't go on a public global tour. And this is the one thing I've learned. I don't know if you think the same, Chris, but in my 16 years in this industry, when I see celebrities doing a lot of press, I know that the movie isn't going to do well, or that the show isn't going to do well. Sometimes it does, but 9 times out of 10, if they are in every city at every premiere doing every interview, it's not going to do that well. So I feel like maybe that's why Sydney's been so prominent. But yeah, that didn't help. And I was only saying it to Chris outside, like, Taylor Swift's team is really known for that. Like, we've even had emails from Taylor's team. Like, they read every single thing and they softly suggest that things get changed. Now, obviously, that doesn't fly with anybody.
Wow.
So
that's creepy. Orwellian.
But then they'll
stuff.
Give you tickets to a gig, so it's a hard one, isn't it?
Okay, all right. Friends, I haven't any. Yeah. Oh, God. The thing is, though, is this to a certain extent. Now, in fairness, I personally thought that the whole jeans advertising thing, that wasn't her fault. And it was fairly innocent.
Yeah.
It wasn't meant to be racist.
I don't think that was initial idea.
But yeah, but to a certain extent, Sydney Sweeney, she keeps doing things that have nothing to do with acting, and that generates more publicity than her acting
does.
Even
that whole thing that came out that she was selling her bath water, you know, and then what's frustrating as like someone who's watching her doing what she's doing is that she then refuses to discuss these things. I've seen her on carpets being like, so your bath water, and she's like, I don't want to talk about it. So you did your jean ad, I don't want to speak about it. So when you're making millions and millions off these commercial deals, it's hard to, I think that's why people aren't loving her at the moment. She's also dating Scooter Braun. He's like one of the worst people in the music industry. Everybody hates him. He's such a bad reputation just for, you know, everything that happened with Taylor, Justin Bieber, Selena Gomez. People just don't like him as a person. So now she's dating him. She's a registered Republican. She's selling her bathwater. So people don't want to go see the movie. That's how I see it. I don't think it should take away from her acting, but I agree with you. I think the celebrity stuff is taking over. Like, even when she was at Jeff Bezos's wedding, I think she was one of the most photographed people there. And she was linked to being the new Bond girl because Jeff is obviously doing that for Amazon. So I'm sure she's caught up in all the hype, and Euphoria is now coming back out again, so I'd be interested to see. But a lot of the Euphoria castmates are not doing press with her, including Zendaya, who's like a fan favourite, and the belief is it's because of her political views. But like, she didn't come out and say, I'm Republican.
I think her family are registered Republicans, right?
She personally is as well.
Arnold's one of the most famous Republican. Arnold Schwarzenegger is one of the famous Republicans.
I just think when you're a woman in Hollywood, it's just a different level of pressure. There's so many guys that are like, I don't think anyone cares. I do feel bad for those. Shouldn't didn't come out and say, I support Trump. Someone searched the register and saw she was registered after the Jeans ad, which was a great scoop. I get it. But I do feel for her a bit. And she's being media trained to like 90. Like when I watched that GQ.
Well,
that GQ interview, though, if you watch it, it is like a masterclass in media training, because they literally are basically saying to her, are you racist? And she like finds a way to skip around it. But it's actually really bothered people now.
What about the word no?
Yeah, she's just like, if I have anything to say, I'll say it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, there's a new trend.
See, because that comes along.
It's making it worse.
It makes it worse, but it also comes along as a bit stupid.
Yeah, it's coming across like a supremacist, which is the problem, because that's what they're accusing her of.
There's a new trend emerging there as well, as a bit of an aside, that Sydney Sweeney came out on Monday, wasn't it, after the film had its first weekend at the US box office, and did something like what Dwayne Johnson did last month with The Smashing Machine. Well, movies sometimes aren't for everyone, but I did this as a challenge to myself and I'm very proud of it. I actually would like actors to stop doing that, because it gives off again this message that it's a sprint, that the first weekend is all that matters, and then they failed. And Sydney Sweeney has had one of the biggest sleeper hits of the last few years with Anyone But You, a film that did very quiet business at the box office.
220 million.
But when it first came out, it was very quiet, and it was word of mouth that helped it become this massive box office success. So it's not all about the first weekend.
I agree. I think people are very focused on that wicked Oppenheimer weekend, the whole Barbenheimer, and then when Wicked came out with Gladiator. But most of this generation who'd be fans of Sydney Sweeney are not rushing to go to the cinema on the first weekend. It's just not really a thing anymore. I agree with you. I just think she needs to have a new plan. Her manager needs to sit her down, and maybe she needs to pull away. If she really wants to be like on an Oscar trail or Golden Globe, I don't know if the other. So it's too distracting, which is sad. Because I feel like guys could do this and no one would care. Mm. But for her, it is causing her issues.
I think a lot of people would know her name and not be able to mention one movie she's been in.
No, I'm that person. Or know her, like apart from the Jane's app.
She's just absolutely stunning. But she's also in a really. I actually do think she's a really good actress. But it was the bathwater for me. That's when I started to be like, okay, does she care that much about acting? It's hard. And then the refusal, I hate when celebrities do this, when they're like, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm like, well, why did you do it then? Why are you on the carpet? It wrecks my head.
Someone says Ruby Rose calling someone's performance terrible is hilarious.
It's the height of irony.
Yeah, okay. Sydney Sweeney is playing a lesbian domestic abuse survivor. Not exactly a plot for the right wing. Well, not exactly, blockbuster stuff at the cinema screen.
That's why Ruby Rose got involved, because she is a lesbian and she was like, I should have got that role. I should be protecting. And because you're Republican, you hate queers. Which, again, is all things that people are just making up about her. She hasn't said a word. So
I know.
In fact,
she hasn't said a word.
Yeah.
Speculation rushes in.
You say it best, you say nothing at all, as Ronan Keating would say.
Oh, gosh. the Virginian is shown on T.G. Cahir.
Of course it is.
Austin says Arnie's Running Man was on film 4 last night.
Was it?
Great crack. Even one lad got a chainsaw up his crack.
And the
Oscar goes to. It was ahead of his time. Unfortunately, that time is now. An authoritarian leadership, cruel unwarranted punishment, and convincing fake generated images and videos. Good point. We'll find out whether that reoccurs in this version of the film. Tell us about our first wine.
Okay. Sydney had nothing to do with it. Okay, so a lady called Sarah and her father Pablo are the sixth generation. Sarah's the sixth generation winemaker in the Camillo winery in Abruzzo in Italy. So, as I said, it's a lesser known grape called Pecorino, also known as the cheese. I had this a couple of weeks ago with a carbonara, again, with the Parmesan and Pecorino cheese. And I just thought it was absolutely delicious. So it's got this gorgeous melon, apple, citrus fruit, but it's got, as someone described it at the tasting the other day, rock melon, which I hadn't heard of, which is cantaloupe melon. And I was like, perfect. He was from New Zealand.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, that's absolutely perfect. But it's actually spent some time in barrels. So it's got a bit more of a texture and a creaminess to it as well. So a lot of Pecorinos you'd see on the market, you see some coming up now in supermarkets. They're grand. This particular one is from a really good producer who put an awful lot of work into tending to the grapes and that. So, did you taste it? You liked it?
Yeah, it's really nice.
This is the second time you brought in a white wine that I've actually liked, and I don't drink
white wine.
Yeah, this is a problem. I'm going to start wanting this.
Like, literally her job.
Yeah.
But that's what this group said as well. They were mainly red wine drinkers, and this was the star of the night.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was like, wow, it's so approachable. It's just so easy to drink. And nobody is going to go, I don't like that. It's too this, it's too that. It is just the perfect little beverage. So it tantalizes your taste buds with the lovely, refreshing acidity. Your mouth is watering. You want another glass. What would you pair it with?
Some Pecorino.
The Running Man, Pecorino.
Cheese and crackers.
Cheese and crackers. Anything. Yeah. It's just so versatile. So I think, so I had it with the carbonara. It was amazing. It brought out the kind of creaminess of the cheese, and also a piece of fish, squeezed bit of lemon, would bring out the citrus notes as well. Mm-hmm. So it is fabulous. I love it. And they also make different grapes as well. Coca-Cola. Not wow. Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola and Passerina. These are other grapes. There's so many thousands of different grapes from Italy. And this is just a little sweetheart, a little gem.
Yeah. And is it just a Pecorino grape by itself?
It's just the Pecorino. Yeah. And okay. It's like boldly on the label. So the name of the wine is Castellin, and it's from Di Camillo, and it is exclusive to Wine Online at the moment. But it's absolutely fab. And they've been making wine since the 1900s. So yum.
Okay, good for them. That's really nice.
Yeah.
Sweeney is a decent actress who does mostly serious roles, but because she gets roles because she's attractive, people hate her. As if that's a new phenomenon in Hollywood. As your speaker mentioned, if she was a man, she wouldn't get this heat.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I agree. I do agree.
Yeah. Mark on Twitter says, could you ask if anyone has seen Good Boy? It sounds strange, but it's got a dog as the main character.
Oh, the dog of horror.
We discussed this heavily in one of our episodes recently.
Did we?
Yeah, the whole thing is told from the perspective of
the dog.
The dog is in fact a very good boy. And it's quite chilling.
We raved about that. Yeah. He said it was a must see.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, there we go. So yeah, that all happened.
Real thing.
I remember it clearly now. Yeah. I need to have a brief nap while we take a break. Should we talk about The Running Man?
Well, there's a Sydney Sweeney film, I'm sure we can talk about.
Okay, Running Man coming up after this.
Welcome to The Running Man.
Survivor, the world's deadliest game show.
Walk away with $1 billion.
That's actually not true. No one has ever survived.
We know a way to beat it, but we have to work together.
The biggest underdog win in game show history.
Okay, you ready? It's gonna work.
I can't just let you win this game.
There you go. That's the Running Man. So it's a huge game show, a dystopian game show.
It is, yeah. And it's also this is Glenn Powell's first big Hollywood headliner, because he's been around for a few years now, but he's always kind of had support. I mean, in Twisters last year, he had Daisy Edgar Jones, and that was more of an ensemble piece. Like, he had the safety blanket of Netflix with Hitman, which I think is his best film. He had Sydney Sweeney and Anyone But You. He's never kind of just been, you know, that's his face on the posters. Yeah. This is his film. So this is a real test for him, because he has that likability, he has that charisma, that charm, but you know, does he have like the talent to hold together a 2.5 hour blockbuster? Just about. So this is based on a Stephen King novel, sort of a reworking of the Arnold Schwarzenegger story, and it takes place in this, I was going to say it takes place in this topsy-turvy version of America where, you know, everything has gone sideways, but you know, it's a documentary. So this is an America where the only way for ordinary working class citizens to make a decent book is to actually take part in these government controlled television network games that are just absolutely brutal, so savage. I mean, most people who take part in these games actually die. So The Running Man is the worst of it. And what it involves is you go on, you're sent out into the real world, and you've 30 days to survive being hunted by expert assassins. And you have to send a message back to the television network every day to let them know how you're getting on, to let them know you're still alive. You can don as many disguises as you want, just as long as you keep everyone posted. So everyone at home is watching you. You're being hunted. If you survive for 30 days, you win $1 billion.
Okay,
so
cool.
Yeah,
$1 billion.
Very cool. Yeah. Yeah. Here's the kicker, though. No one has ever survived.
Yeah.
And I think the closest anyone's ever got was maybe 29 days. Most people are actually exterminated after 24 hours. But Ben Richards, who's Pell, he's different because he has a bigger temper. He's bigger muscles. He's handsome. So obviously he's going to stay alive.
Go.
He's going to stay alive
handsome
longer.
Handsome deflects bullets. We all know that.
He's also in a bit of a rut because he squealed on some horrible boss, and now he's been just completely blacklisted from every trade in America. So he just can't get a job. I think he was in construction. He just can't get a gig anywhere. So he has this sick family. He needs to look after him. He enrolls in the running game. And because of his temper and because of his charisma, the producers, this one guy, Dan Killian, played by Josh Brolin, who is very much enjoying himself here, he thinks this guy is a ratings winner. So, I mean, the object obviously is is to kill off this guy, but we want him to stay alive because people will love to hate him.
Sure.
And you've also got this brilliant host played by Colman Domingo, who's just a blast of energy and everything he's in. I do love him. And he realizes that we've got our first real Running Man superstar here. And that's pretty much it. It's just he has to stay alive. And then on the ground, while he, you know, dons a ton of disguises, Glenn Powell always ends up in a series or a film where he has to put on a funny mask. I mean, Chad Powers and Disney Hitman. Yeah. It's weird. It's sort of his own franchise at this point. He makes friends along the way. He makes friends with William H. Macy, who helps him out. He befriends this grieving conspiracy theorist played by Michael Cera. And that's about it. So the actual premise is quite fun. And for an hour at least, I had a good time with this. I think when the runner, the running man, when he slows down, when, you know, when he reduces his speed and increases his word count, when he actually starts to explain too much to the audience, that's when I started to check out. And I love this story, and I'm a fan of Edgar Wright too. I mean, this is from the director of Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead, Baby Driver. You wouldn't know it. I think Edgar Wright, I don't know, something has happened to him where he's just, his films now look like everyone else's, and his films used to be so vibrant, energetic. Like Baby Driver kind of operated like a musical at times. And it's so, it's a beautiful film to look at as well. And Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead have been so influential. This, you'd never know that he was behind it. Just it lacks the vibrancy and energy of his previous films. Glenn Powell here is very good as, you know, the lovable rogue who just gets himself, and he's also like he's kind of tapping into that mad Tom Cruise energy. You know, people do really think he's the next Tom Cruise. Okay. I don't think anyone's the next Tom Cruise, but he is giving it a good shot. It's well performed. It's fun for an hour. It's just when it starts to explain itself that I had a big problem, because I do quite enjoy the novel, but this is a big thing with Stephen King stories. When you get to the final third, a lot of them will just collapse in on themselves. And that's why in some of the most famous Stephen King adaptations, the filmmakers have changed the endings. Everything from The Shawshank Redemption to The Mist, Green Mile, they all have tweaked endings because endings are just King's weak point. And Edgar Wright came out years ago and said that he really wanted to make a faithful version of The Running Man. Fair enough. But the end of The Running Man, like the last 100 pages are a mess. Maybe the last 50 pages are a mess. The last hour of this film is all over the place, to the point where I'm actually looking forward to people coming out who haven't read the novel and asking, what happened there? What's that about?
Wow.
Like,
okay.
Is this person still alive? Is this game still going? What's going? It is quite confusing. And another thing is that King basically helped, you know, he had a hand in shaping our vision of what, you know, this chilling dystopian America looks like with his original stories from 1980s, whether it was The Long Walk or The Running Man. But now, you know, 40 odd years later, this thing now looks like every other dystopian sci-fi from Runner all the way up to Squid Game. That's not King's fault, but it is unfortunate that an adaptation of what is one of his most enjoyable stories is kind of one of the weakest Stephen King films.
We perhaps live in the age where it's impossible to make a dystopian film.
I think so.
Because
just look out your window.
Beyond satire and all that stuff. Tom Cruise gave Glenn Powell personal running lessons. Does he run like the cruiser?
He does, actually.
No one runs
that very
like
straight
Tom Cruise.
Listeners, I'm doing this weird thing with my arms.
Adam Scott in Severance does that run.
He does.
He said that he looked at all the Tom Cruise movies for doing those runs around the Severance floor, that he runs like that. If anyone's Severance fan on Apple TV, he actually has the hands up.
Yeah, Glenn Powell does do that.
Okay, good one. When running man is running, where is he running through? Is it just like through a random city? Is there a cordoned off area?
Oh, he's just running around America. He's just like running across. Sometimes he has to, I'm not making this film sound very exciting, but sometimes he has to run from one side of the road to the other so that he can post his message back to the studio. That does not sound very exciting at all.
Yeah.
But I quite like that stuff because you never know where the hitman's going to be. Mm. So all that stuff is very well done and a lot of fun. It's when he stops and makes friends and they explain too much and it's all clumsy satire. And I should say as well, Edgar Wright is better. There's a recurring joke in this film which is just dire, and it's basically in the background you've got this show playing out which is supposed to be taking the mick out of the Kardashians, the Americanos, the show that everyone's obsessed with. Edgar Wright, you're better than taking the mick out of the Kardashians. It's an old joke. It's low hanging fruit. It's just not funny. I was disappointed with that side of things because he is a very funny filmmaker, but not here.
Yeah. The bit of a Glenn Powell backlash. He's becoming the Sydney Sweeney of
they
movies.
They work together.
Glenn Powell has the most punchable face in Hollywood. I can't watch anything he's in.
I have to Google this as well.
Somebody else wonders, would Ryan Gosling have been a better pick?
No.
No. Okay. Ryan's probably too serious to do something like that, I think.
He loves
to get involved with the directors and the story making, so he would have changed the ending.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that needs us on neatly to Colin Farrell's next project, because he's done like lots of kind of art housey stuff, and now he's doing kind of an old action, back to doing action.
So excited that he's back to action. Like Phone Booth and The Recruit are two of my like favorite action movies. Do you remember they both came out in the space of like 18 months? He was the busiest actor in Hollywood at that time. So yeah, he's a new movie coming out called Ordained, and he's teaming up with the Russo brothers. So they're the guys that made all of the Avengers movies, pretty much, and the Captain America movie. So they're known for all their Marvel work. They also randomly produced and directed Arrested Development, which I only learned today, and that's one of my favourite shows, one of my favourite shows ever. But what I love about this is just a summary of what it's about. So Colin's going to star as Father Roy Craig, a priest who performs last rites on a mob boss who miraculously survives, but not before confessing his crimes to the father. Soon after, Father Roy finds himself targeted by hitmen, corrupt cops and gangsters, all sent by the mob boss who wants to silence him. But, and of course, Father Roy secretly has a violent past that makes him more dangerous target than they realize. It just sounds so good.
Slight hole in the plot there. If anyone knows anything about confession within Catholicism. Other than that, sounds like an interesting concept. Yes,
I think we might see some Tom Cruise running around here, because by the sounds of it. But I think this is going to be a good one, actually. And I think Colin has steered away from this for a long time. Obviously, he wanted to be known more in the artsy side. But I think this is going to be really good. I don't think he would have signed on to it unless it actually is a good script. That's what I'm hoping.
Oh absolutely.
And an Irish father. I mean, could we ask for anything else with a violent past? Love it.
Right, you are listening to The Moncrief Show on News Talk. We do have to take a break. More movies and booze. So let's toast Dave and Sinead's good fortune. What's our red wine?
Cheers. Yes, so this is a wine called Chateau Saint-Roch, which is Chimerais is the name of this particular wine. And it is from Côte de Roussillon, which is southwest of France. So it's really, really hot down here. They can grow gorgeous, real ripe red grapes. So this is a blend of a grape called Syrah, which is also Shiraz, Grenache, 70% Syrah, 20% Grenache and 10% Carignan. And it's just a melody. It's like a Black Forest Gâteau with a dollop of cream in a glass. And it's such the perfect wine for this evening, like wild out there, just kind of winter warmer, hugging a glass. And I met the winemaker, Jean-Marc Lafarge, a good few years ago. We were at a dinner thing and my friend was there and she said, "Oh, it's beautiful, but I'd never drink a red out in public." And she was like, what? What do you mean? And she's like, because my teeth go black and, you know, and all the rest. And Ali, you were saying you had a Pinot Noir. So Pinot Noirs don't give you that black thing. There's lower tannin and pigmentation in those grapes.
That makes so much sense,
Whereas Syrah is a grape that would have a lot. So you will have a bit of a black mouth, but it's worth it. Yeah. And we all look fabulous.
Absolutely. And when you're in your home among friends.
Exactly.
What's the third grape you mentioned there, Linda?
Carignan.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not, you never really see it on its own. Mm. It's always a little made up in a blend of the grapes from southwest of France or Châteauneuf and things like that as well. It's just a little mild little feature that adds a little bit of spice to the grape, to the blend.
Right,
it's really, really nice. So kind of here you're getting your dark berry fruits, wild herbs as well. What do you think of it? Do you
I love that.
It's lovely.
But again,
fabulous.
Like slow braised stews, winter warmer kind of casserole kind of styles, burgers, anything, bit of steak and that. So this is available in your good independents. And again, I love this producer because it's not just this wine. It's their rosé. It's some of their whites where they make Roussan and Marsan grapes, different kind of styles. They're really, really good. Everything they touch is gold. And it's available in the likes of Baggot Street, Martin's, Blackrock Cellars, The Vintry, Wine & Line, McHugh's and Great Independence.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely lovely stuff. Right. We did mention Tom Cruise giving out running lessons earlier on, and he's going to get an Oscar. It's not for running.
Not for running. Although he deserves it for running. Yeah, so after more than three decades in Hollywood and four Oscar nominations, so he was nominated before for Born the 4th of July, Jerry Maguire, Magnolia and Top Gun Maverick, he's finally being honoured. So he's getting an honorary Academy Award this Sunday at the Governor's Awards. So they said they're recognising him for his extraordinary contributions to cinema, his advocacy of the theatrical experience and his groundbreaking stunt work, which is incredible. Any of the Mission Impossible movies, I've seen pretty much every single BTS like behind the scenes video of how he does the stunts, and it is insane. So a lot of people are coming out now saying, you know what, he so deserves this. He should have got one ages ago. Previous people have got this is Charlie Chaplin, Samuel Jackson, Jackie Chan. But yeah, I actually randomly always say that Tom Cruise is my favorite interview I've ever done. It's very strange, but when I went to go and meet him, I was like, I'm not going to like him, but he is, I can't, if you were to put a Hollywood star in a little capsule and give it to someone, that's what Tom Cruise is. He's so good. Like, he was an hour and a half late into the movie premiere we were going to because he wanted to meet every single fan. He was here in Dublin at the Savoy Cinema.
Oh, he always struck me, he's like a local politician.
Literally,
you know,
yeah,
he's working the room and going, remember me on the 15th.
It was hilarious, right? He was coming down the carpet and there was this weird robotic thing following him around, and then I realised it was a heater to keep him warm because he was going to stand outside. So it was a little robot following him around. But he asked me my name and I was like, Alexandra. And he said, Alexandra. He said it back to me. He was like, it's kind of weird. Saw him later on and he was like, Alexandra. And so it's such a good trick for A-listers. He then followed me on Twitter. Just saying. So like he
wow.
He
okay, I'm glad you put it on Twitter there.
Suddenly
we call the lawyers.
But I think he deserves it. And I have to say, from all the stunt work and the behind the scenes stuff I've seen him do, he loves film. He loves Hollywood and he lives and breathes it. I think he massively deserves it.
But he's not allowed. It's not a real Oscar in a way. He's not allowed to say he's an Academy Award winner.
No, it's an honorary Oscar. So it's kind of like...
That's like an honorary doctorate.
Especially, it's kind of like... Because you'd think that maybe he could still win one, but it's kind of like, you're not going to win one. So look, here's a little
I know, that's a bit hard. He might.
I don't love him at all.
Oh, no, I do.
You should meet him, though, because I didn't love him either. And then I met him. And I was like, you know what, Tom? And I think at the time, was he here? He got that Irish ancestry done. So I was like, Tommy O'Cruise, you know, he thinks he's Irish. But yeah, no, I, it is a little bit of a slap in the face, I suppose. Because like honorary, it's like, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. If someone could correct me on this now, I might be wrong, but it might be Peter O'Toole, who was nominated for like 7 or 8 Oscars. And then he was given an honorary Oscar. When he was asked how it felt to be given an honorary Oscar, he said, well, I would quite like to have had the chance to actually win one of these bloody things.
Absolutely.
It's not the same.
Yeah. So somebody wants to know, could you name the white wine again?
Yes. Linda? So it's L-U in small little letters, and then Castelline, C-A-S-T-E-L-L-I-N-E, and it's Pecorino grape. So the producer is Dick Camillo, D-I-C-A-M-I-L-L-O. I've posted it on Instagram, and I will post it on LinkedIn as well. So,
okay, fantastic stuff.
So also, it's wine online exclusive.
Also, we've been, Sinead and Dave, who just won this 264 grand, we've been besieged with messages from people saying they have a guitar for sale. So... it's only 100 grand, you know. Right, we'll move on to our second movie. It is Christmas Karma. Here's a clip.
No hay nada, no tiene nada para mí.
Who's that?
Ay, Dios mío.
What is... Molly?
Ay, Dios mío.
What kind of ghost is this?
¿Quién soy yo? ¿Qué clase de gringo eres?
Can you speak English, please? We are in England.
Can you speak English, please? We're in England.
Are you the ghost that Molly said is coming?
Yeah, he asked me to do him a favor. He owes me.
But this is ridiculous. You're not even dressed like a ghost.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So, it's a Christmas Carol set in England.
It is.
Yeah.
Made by...
That's it.
Okay. Thanks, everyone.
It's Gurinder Shatta, who made Bend It Like Beckham and Blinded by the Light. And her films usually find a way... her films are usually kind of... most of the famous ones are kind of culture clash comedies and films that kind of explore her Indian heritage and, you know, sort of the Indian families that are raised in the UK. And they usually find a way to completely charm the socks off you. She made a film called Blinded by the Light a few years ago, which is about a teen who discovers Bruce Springsteen in the 1980s, but his Indian parents disapprove of the rock and roll lifestyle. And Springsteen was so charmed by the concept and by Gurinder Shatta that he actually gave the rights to his songs for the film for nothing. And that's like, you're talking about a very expensive catalogue here. So Gurinder Shatta is a very talented filmmaker and very well liked. I don't know what's happened here. So this is a story where Mr. Scrooge is now Mr. Sood, played by Kunal Nayar, who was famously Raj on The Big Bang Theory. And he is this Asian miser who went into business with, you know, some parts of the Scrooge story, you know, remain intact, with a guy named Marley after he came over to the UK from Uganda. So his story is he was raised in Uganda, but was part of the Indian families, the thousands of Indian families who were expelled from Uganda around the 1980s, kind of brought over a century beforehand to, you know, essentially build the country and all of the railways, and then just told, right, okay, you've 90 days to get out of the place. So all of that stuff is really interesting. It's basically Gurinder Chadha explaining what made this person so miserable, because as a child, this Sood character is, you know, so optimistic and so friendly, but when he comes to England and is faced by just prejudice on every corner, and then kind of gets this idea into his head, which is very real for him, that in order to succeed, I need to be mean to everybody, and I need to kind of, you know, just be as bad as my bullies, basically. So he becomes this horrible, horrible character. So I'm now explaining A Christmas Carol, where, you know, he obviously around Christmas time requires some divine intervention after sacking all of his staff, after being rude to a cabbie played by Danny Dyer. That's just, you don't do that. You're not rude to, don't be rude to Danny Dyer. And he receives a visit from all of these different ghosts played by Eva Longoria, Billy Porter, and Boy George, which I
did not expect that name.
It's like,
and the honorary Oscar goes to.
It's very strange. I sometimes wondered if Boy George knew he was in a film, if he maybe just showed up one day and visited the set, and then he was convinced to actually play the part of a ghost. I don't know. And also, it's a musical with songs written by Shaznay Lewis and Gary Barlow. So some of it should.
On paper, that does.
It sounds amazing. On paper.
I was rooting for this thing. I'm almost lost for words. It's a shambles. It really is. It's very amateur in places. The songs are not up to scratch. The performances aren't just unconvincing. They are completely wooden. I think
is Danny Dyer good in it? Because he's so good in Rivals. I love him in Rivals.
He's fantastic. That's the performance of his career in Rivals. I came away from Danny Dyer's performance in this thinking two things. One is that I kind of want someone to make a Scrooge film with Danny Dyer as Scrooge.
Yeah. I know. I was going to say he's one of the central characters.
Yeah, and two, I kind of want Danny Dyer to release a Christmas album.
Okay, that's all coming. Next week we will be discussing Danny Dyer's Christmas album. Thanks to Ali Ryan, Linda Coogan and Chris Wasser.
Movies and Booze on Moncrief.
Of all the gin joints in all the world, she walks into mine.
The martini, shaken not stirred.
I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.